for our final hymn. Grab your hymnals at this time, and let's open up to 177. 177. I love this hymn because it says that you and I are marching. Didn't know you're marching, did you? But you are. You're marching onward and upward towards Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. And we're going to sing the first, third, and fourth of hymn 177. Praise the Lord. Beautiful thing.
Song with sweet accord, join in the song with sweet accord. Us around the throne, and us around the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion yields a thousand sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields, so walk those golden streets, so walk those golden streets.
Amen.
We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high. To fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city.
Be seated, church. Praise the Lord. When you think about the truth of that song, boy, that'll put a joy in your step. We're on our way to heaven. Wow. Everything else is just minor. Praise the Lord for that. Well, at this time, folks, I think we've covered all the bases, so let's grab our Bibles and open up to the book of Hebrews this morning. As we come to the Word, let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. And as you're turning there, I've avoided preaching this message for next month. Will be our 2-year anniversary, Val, eh?
No, in July.
July, is it? Coming up. Yeah, for some 20... 20 months or so, that's okay. 20 months or so I have avoided preaching this message because as most preachers, you hate preaching on giving. But it's part of the Bible, amen? And we need to be giving scripturally, of course, and we want to please the Lord. And folks, let me say this. Don't answer out loud. Are you a tither? Do you tithe? No, don't answer. Because I don't want to know. God wants to know. Amen? I don't know. Let me say this in the outset. I don't know who gives what in this church. I don't want to know. Our treasurer takes care of all that. Amen? Preacher has no business in the finances of the church. And this is one of the areas of problem in ministry today. We got some thieves out there. But praise the Lord that I don't have to be concerned about that. But God's concerned between you and Him. Amen. Now, I want to bring a message concerning what I consider to be the starting point of living by faith, folks. That is in the area of our giving to God. Look with me here in Hebrews chapter 6. I'm going to begin reading in verse 19, and then we'll follow a few verses into chapter 7. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. Paul said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Amen? And giving is part of the counsel of God. And look with me here in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ going to heaven before us, our anchor, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people, according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here, men that die receive tithes. But there, he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. I want to preach to you a message I've entitled this morning, Why Tithe? Why Tithe? Father in heaven, how we thank you for the word of God here in the book of Hebrews. And oh God, how we thank you that your word makes it absolutely crystal clear that tithing is not fabricated by man, but dear Lord, that it is part of the counsel of God for his children. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessings of tithing. We thank you, Lord, for the peace and the joy and the comfort that it brings, knowing that we're pleasing our Heavenly Father in all areas of our lives. Lord, we ask you to bless us today and give us spiritual understanding in this area, which seems to be so sensitive today amongst God's people. And Lord, we just ask you to clarify and cement these truths to our spirits in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Now, beloved, my intent in preaching this message today is not to get more money for the church or for anyone in the church. Listen carefully. My intention is to try to help every single person of this church to receive God's best for their lives and to be living in every area of our lives according to the Word of God. So I beg you to hear me this morning and consider what I say. As we ask this question to the Bible, why tithe? Why? Why tithe? I want to attempt to answer this question from Scripture with eight answers. First of all, why tithe? The first question, why tithe, is the answer would be because tithing is an eternal principle. Tithing is not something new. Tithing is an eternal principle in God's eyes. Look with me in Genesis. Go to Genesis chapter number 14. We have a passage here in Genesis 14 we call the Battle of the Five Kings. And Abraham gets involved because his nephew, Lot, and his family were taken captive as a result of this battle. Now, look with me here in Genesis chapter 14 at verse number 11. Why tithe? Because tithing is an eternal principle. And they took, verse 11, and they took, that's the five kings, took all of the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped, and told Abram, the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Now notice in verse 14, Abraham taught his servants how to fight. Amen? We need to know how to do battle, beloved. Why? Because we're in the family of God. First he won them to the Lord, and then he taught them how to fight. And look at here in verse 15. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and which is actually his nephew, his brother's son. And his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Kedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him. He slew them all, man. Abraham didn't mess around. You don't mess with my family, amen? And at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, emblems of the Lord's table. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him what?
Tithes.
Wait a minute. He gave him tithes of all. Well, I thought tithing was just for those under the law of Moses. Nope. Nope, not according to the Bible. Look at it. He gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom, by the way, this is theophany. It's a Christophany. It's a pre-incarnate appearance of the second person of the Godhead. Because there's only one priest of the Most High God. Amen. And this fellow we're going to see in Hebrews had no beginning nor end of days. It's not an angel. And we won't split doctrine over that, but I've studied this for 29 years, and trust me, it's it's a theophany. King of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, Sodom, lest thou should say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which were with me, Aner, Eshcol, Mamre, let them take their portion. Notice here in verse 19, in verse 20, Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. Now, beloved, listen very carefully. Abraham, why did he do that? It's because Abraham knew that he should give tithes to Melchizedek, priest of the Most High God, over 400 years before Moses received the law on Mount Sinai. Why did he do that? It's because tithing is an eternal principle. I'm going to show you that today from the Bible. How did Abraham know that? How did Abraham know about tithing? Go to Genesis chapter 4. Flip back a few chapters and remember that at this time in the world, the Bible wasn't complete. They didn't even have the Old Testament yet, right? So in Genesis chapter 4, how did they learn about God? How did they learn about tithing? Look in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. We read, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now, let me ask you a question here. In Genesis chapter 4, the Bible says God was well pleased with the sacrifice of Abel, but not of Cain. How did Abel know what to give to the Lord? Think. It was only by word of mouth. The Bible wasn't written. His daddy told him, you need a blood sacrifice if you want to approach the living God. Amen? Because God taught Adam and Eve that through blood, the shedding of blood, he covered them with skins. And I bet it was a lamb, too. But listen, this is how he learned about sacrifice from his father. And this is how Abraham, back in chapter 14, knew about tithing. God had passed that on. And, beloved, tithing is an eternal principle. It was known before the law of Moses. It was known during the law of Moses. And it is known now after the law of Moses. We're going to see that. A man once told a preacher, I had a dream, preacher, that the Lord took my Sunday offering and multiplied it by 10. And this became my weekly income. In no time at all, I lost my cable TV. I had to give up my new car. I could not even make a house payment. After all, what could a fellow do on 10 bucks a week? Yeah, Lord multiplied his offering by 10 and he had 10 bucks in his pocket. You know? How about if the Lord multiplied your offering by 10? It should be what you make. You know what I'm saying? You should be able to pay your bills. I
had people say to me, Pastor, you know, I can't tithe. And I would say, oh, why is that? You know, oh, because I got all these bills to pay. I said, okay. I said, you can't tithe because you got a lot of bills, right? Yeah, right. I said, were you tithing when the bills were built up? No, I don't tithe. I said, you can't tithe because you don't tithe. You can't tithe because you don't tithe. Does that make sense? I said, if you were tithing all along, like you're supposed to be, guess what? You'd be able to pay your bills, no problem. Because God promises to provide for you if you put Him number one in your life. Now, beloved, something else. Why tithe? First, because tithing is an eternal principle. Secondly, why tithe? Because tithing is a covenant principle. It's a covenant principle. You're still in Genesis. Go to chapter 28. I want you to see something, beloved, today about tithing. And that is that tithing is only a covenant principle. That means that only those who are in covenant with God are supposed to tithe. That world out there isn't going to come walking in the church and give 10% of their income. Hello! They're not in covenant with God. Look at it. In chapter 28... Verse 10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And it's Bethel. And he took, you know what Bethel means? House of God. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Not too comfortable. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. They're real. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. Now time out, church, before we continue reading. What is God doing with Jacob? Entering into a what? Covenant. He's entering into a covenant relationship with the living God. I will bring thee again into this place, this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Now Bethel means house of God. Luz means light. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God.
And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Notice what Jacob promised God. This is way, way before Moses ever comes along. But Jacob says, because I am entering into a personal relationship with God, a covenant relationship, I vow to give him a tenth of all that I receive. Verse 22. Wow. Beloved, listen very carefully. God and Jacob are entering into covenant. And notice the connection in verse 22 between the covenant, the house of God, Bethel, and the tithe. You see it? This is why, listen to me, folks. This message is long overdue. You do not send your tithe to the televangelist, Benny Hinn. Yeah. People do this, okay? Little old ladies that don't know any better. And he'll answer to God one day. But you do not take God's tithe and send it to the televangelist or to this or that ministry. The tithe belongs to the house of God that you're supposed to belong to. You see? That's why these church hoppers, they have no foundation in their life. They're just like wandering stars going from church to church. And, you know, maybe I'll go over here. Oh, he said something I didn't like. I'm leaving town, you know. And, you know, God doesn't want that. He wants you to serve him through a local house of God. And the tithe belongs to God through his house. Why? So that we can keep the lights on and keep serving God and keep supporting missionaries. Now, very carefully, listen. Secondly, first, the tithe is a covenant made with God. Secondly, there is someone in the house of God. Amen? God was in the house. And thirdly, there is the tithe that goes to God. Now, tithing is only for those who are in covenant with God. It's not for the world out there. Todd Lee Wynn, an oilman of Dallas, Texas, a Christian though, recently turned over $2 million to the Texas Presbyterian Foundation. The gift was actually a tithe of an estimated $20 million Mr. Wynn made when he sold his petroleum company interests. When asked what prompted the incredible offering, Mr. Wynn said, "Members of the Wynn family have practiced tithing for generations. It is our duty to God to always give the tenth." Amen? That guy believed the Bible. Mr. Wynn counted his covenant relationship with God more important than personal gain. Tithing is a covenant principle, beloved. But something else. Thirdly, why tithe? Why tithe? Because the tithe belongs to God, not to us. Look with me in Leviticus. Leviticus. You say, oh, that's Old Testament, Pastor. Yeah, we'll get to the new. Hang on. We're getting there. In Leviticus, look with me in chapter 27 of Leviticus. Look in chapter 27. I want you to see that the tithe is not yours. It belongs to God personally. In Leviticus 27, look with me at verse number 30. Moses says, "In all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." Do you know that your offering is sanctified? It's holy to the Lord. It's holy to the Lord. When you give to God's work, he counts it a precious thing. And he counts it an act of obedience. Because he says right here in verse 30 that it belongs to him. Oh, it's so important to get that straight. What would you think about a person who found a credit card on the floor? This has happened, by the way, at Walmart. Picked up that credit card, shopped for 2 hours, went to the register, paid for over $500 worth of merchandise. This happened to my own daughter. With that lost credit card and walked out of the store with all those items. What would you think of that person? Well, most of us would say that person is a criminal. He's a thief and needs to be arrested and put in, on trial. But beloved, how many Christians this very day are doing that same thing? By spending someone else's money, God's, on things for themselves. Look at verse 30 again. Verse 30. He says, "All the tithe is the Lord's." It belongs to him. If we could just get that concept straight, that a certain part of the income that the Lord allows me to receive in my life is His, it's easy to give. The tithe, why tithe? Because the tithe belongs to God. But fourthly, why tithe? Because tithing is connected to revival. Tithing is directly connected to revival. Look with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 31. A great revival is taking place. Look at it. In 2 Chronicles chapter 31. And I want you to see specifically what it is that is connected to this revival. In 2 Chronicles 31 verse 1. Now, when all this was finished, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah. Verse 1. Break the images in pieces, cut down the groves, the idols, and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim and also Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. You know, another thing connected with revival is destroying the idols, getting the sin out. Then all the children of Israel returned, every man to his possession, into their own cities. Verse 4. And moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem. This is Hezekiah, the great king, that to give the portion of the priests and the Levites that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. Verse 5. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, oil, honey, all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep, and the tithe of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and laid them by heaps. Drop down to verse 11. Then Hezekiah commanded to prepare chambers in the house of the Lord. Notice, the house of the Lord is connected with the revival as well. And they prepared them. Verse 12. And brought in the offerings and the tithes, and the dedicated things faithfully, over which Conaniah the Levite was ruler, and Shemaiah his brother was the next. Brought down to verse 20. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. A great revival broke out. And notice it says down there in verse 5 that all the people brought the tithes to the house of God. Wow. There is a connection between our giving and revival. Hey, do you want souls to be saved? I know you do. That's why you're in church today. And part of getting souls saved is giving to the work of God. Now, tithing is connected to revival all throughout the Bible. When God's people will honor him in giving what is rightfully his, the windows of heaven are opened up and God's power is released. Souls get saved. Backsliders get right. God's spirit begins to move and revival comes. A country preacher was preaching very pointedly to his congregation one Sunday morning. He said, "Now let the church walk." Deacon Jones said, "Amen, let it walk." The preacher then said, "Let the church run." The deacon said, "Amen, preacher, let it run." "Let the church fly," said the preacher. "Amen, brother, let it fly," said Deacon Jones. "Now it's going to take money to let it fly," said the preacher. "Let it walk," said Deacon Jones. "Let it walk." Folks, he didn't understand that tithing is connected to revival. Amen? Something else, though. Why tithe? Why tithe? Because tithing has to do with God's provision. Look with me in verse 8, if you're still in 2 Chronicles chapter 31. Look at verse number 8. Tithing is directly connected with God's provisions. Go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Just before Matthew. Malachi for you Italians. Chapter number 3. And look what it says here about God's provision being connected to tithing. And look at verse number 8. That's Malachi 3:8. We read, Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed, God is speaking, yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. The people weren't tithing. And look at verse number 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. That's a type of the New Testament church. That there be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now notice in verse number 10 that the Lord says, if you are faithful in your giving, if you are faithful in your tithing to the house of God, I will open the windows of heaven to you and pour you out a blessing you shall not be able to contain or receive. God says, look at the word in verse number 10, prove me. Prove me. God says, I want to show you that I'm able to provide for you. But first, you have to be faithful to me. You know, God's hand is limited in some Christians' lives because they're not faithful to him. So he's limited in what he can do for them. Beloved, I've met more missionaries, pastors, evangelists, and Christian families than I can count who have testified to me of God's faithful provision in their lives over the years. And they all had one thing in common. They all gave the tithe to God's house of any income that they received. They said the first tenth belongs to God, not the last tenth, because it won't be there when you get there. The first tenth. I can speak for my wife and I. I can tell you that from the day we were saved unto this day, we have always tithed to God's house. And we've never lacked anything that we've needed in our family. I said needed, not wanted. God has provided our every need. Now, let me give you an example. One year, we're in New York, and I was full-time Bible college and full-time diaper man and full-time father, full-time husband. So I had my hands full. And I was doing the taxes that year, and I need my statement of giving to the church. And I looked at I said, honey, look at this. You're not going to believe this. We gave 26% of our income to the church this year. That's like a double and a half tithe. She said, really? You'd never know it. We're not lacking anything. I said, yeah, isn't that something? Now, why am I telling you that story? To brag? No. To brag on God. That whatever you give to him, he'll supply your need. You just have to be faithful. Now, beloved, there's something else. Why tithe? Because tithing increases God's protection. I said increases God's protection. You have God's protection if you're saved. If you didn't, you'd be dead. The devil would kill you. But it increases God's protection. Look at, if you're still in Malachi, look at in chapter 3, look at verse 11. In Malachi 3, verse 11. Same context about tithing from verse 10. And, he says, not only will I provide your needs, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Did you know that the devil can wreak havoc in your life if you're not faithful to God? Oh yeah, everybody shaking their head, that's for sure. You know it's true. So why would I, if I know the devil, he's got a bullseye on my back and he's got his bow pulled all the way back, he's ready to let it fly, man. Why would I be unfaithful to God? Do I want to become a casualty? Do I want to end up on a shelf gathering dust? No! I want God's protection in my life and over my family's lives. It's important, man. And look at it. He says, I'll rebuke that devourer. He won't touch you. Why? Because you're being faithful to me. Now, beloved, listen carefully. Here's a great promise of God. You'd be surprised at how many believers I've talked to, even here in this area, that have told me of all the heartaches and trials and satanic attacks that they go through. And I always ask them, are you going to church? Are you reading your Bible? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you giving to God the way you're supposed to be giving? Are you tithing? And I tell you, without fail, in one of those areas they're lacking, and usually it's the tithe. And I always say, you know what? You tithe and God will bless you. You tithe, and I mean, it just opens the windows of heaven, folks. I'm not preaching this message to get you to give more money. I'm preaching this message because I want God's blessing, best in your life. Listen to what Billy Graham said recently in a sermon entitled Partners with God. And I quote, "One of the greatest sins in America's churches today is the fact that we are robbing God of that which rightfully belongs to Him. When we don't tithe, we disregard a just debt. Actually, we are not giving when we give God one-tenth anyway, for it belongs to Him already. This is a debt we owe, and not until we've given the tenth do we actually begin making an offering to the Lord." Wow, that's Billy Graham. Now, I see another reason why we should tithe. Not only does it increase God's protection, but seventhly, why tithe? Because tithing was taught by Jesus Christ. What? I never saw that in the Bible. Go with me to Matthew. You know that Jesus taught tithing? I'll prove it to you. Go with me to Matthew chapter 23. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. In Matthew 23, look with me at verse 23. Words, what color are those words? Red. Red. Jesus is speaking, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done." What? "These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." Did anybody catch what Jesus just said to the Pharisees? He said, ye ought to tithe. He didn't say, oh, no, 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 this is the New Testament, so no more of the tenth. You know, just give a nickel, just whatever you feel is right. No, Jesus said, ye ought to do that and not to leave the other ones undone. Beloved, anybody tells you tithing is not in the New Testament, take them to Matthew 23, verse 23. But that's not all. I got some more passages that teach tithing in the New Testament. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus tell them that they shouldn't have tithed? Did Jesus tell them to forget about the tithe and just give whatever they felt like? Go to Mark chapter 12. I want to show you how the Lord judges our giving. And it's not by the amount. I'll give you a hint. It's not by the amount you give. It's by the percentage. Look in chapter 12 of Mark. Look at verse 41. "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites." That's like 7 cents. "Which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even of her, all her living." She gave everything she had. Now, I've heard preachers actually preach this, oh, you should give everything to the church. No, you shouldn't. You got a family to take care of. What do you mean? You got bills to pay. But folks, listen. Jesus is not saying that she had to give all that she had. He's saying that her percentage was much higher than the rich folks. What's that tell us? Jesus is trying to teach us that he doesn't go by amount, he goes by percentage. Amen? So if you're not given the right percentage, you're not given right. Even though it may be more than the person sitting next to you. Okay? That's easy. Now, the point of this passage is that the Lord counts your giving by the percentage of the gift, not by the amount. A preacher once said, for most people, 10% seems to be a barrier, similar to the sound barrier that high-speed planes encounter. Once the speed of a plane exceeds the speed of sound, the aircraft moves on with unprecedented freedom to greater and greater speeds. It passes the sound barrier. So it is in giving, just the same. Once the discipline of tithing is established in the life as an obedient first step in giving, a Christian finds increased ease and joy in additional giving. Once you become a tither, you love giving. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? All the joy. I know, I see smiles on faces because I know that some of you are just, you know this truth because you've experienced it in your life. The more blessed to give than to receive. I see one more reason, though. Why tithe? We've seen why tithe, that tithing is an eternal principle. We've seen that tithing is a covenant principle. We've seen that tithe, the tithe belongs to God. We've seen that tithing is connected to revival. We've seen that tithing has to do with God's provision. We've seen that tithing promotes God's protection. We've seen that tithing was taught by Jesus Christ. But one last thing. Why tithe? And this one I like most of all. Why tithe? Because tithing is practiced in heaven. Go with me to where we started in Hebrews chapter 7. Did you know that people in heaven tithe? You say, what do they tithe, Pastor? I don't know. I don't need to know. Maybe their time, maybe their talent, maybe their worship. But whatever it is, they give a tenth in heaven. Let me show you that. I imagine it has to do with prostrate worship before the king. Amen. Look in chapter 7 of Hebrews. Look at verse 6. Don't miss this. But he whose descent is not counted from them, the Levites, the ones who receive tithes on earth. Watch. Receive tithes of Abraham. That's proven that it's a theophany right there. And blessed him that had the promise. Let me ask you a question. Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Remember that? Could an angel bless him? No. That blessing, that's the blessing of the Lord. That's got to come from a person of the Godhead. And look at it says in verse 6. And blessed him that had the promises. Abraham had the promises of God. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here, somebody tell me, where is the here? On earth, men that die receive tithes. This is New Testament, folks. But there, where is the there? Heaven. He, who's the he? Jesus Christ. All through the passage is talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the high priest. There he receiveth them. What? Of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Did anybody catch what he just said? He said, in heaven, your Savior receives tithes. What? I see two ways that he receives tithes in heaven. When you give to your local church faithfully, Jesus takes that as he did it unto me, himself. Amen? Secondly, in heaven, if you don't like tithing down here, you're not going to like heaven very much. Because in heaven, they tithe. I imagine, and this would be the greatest part of tithing, is being able to pay homage to the king. One-tenth of my time, I'm going to sit and worship him. Amen? Tithe. Whatever we give in heaven, I don't know. But it says right here that he receives them in heaven. I love tithing. And I'm going to love tithing. You're going to love tithing in heaven if you're a tither here. Amen? And let me say this, folks. I know some of us are on fixed, limited incomes. I know that. I understand that. Here's what I believe. This is just me. I believe that God is able to provide for you as you put him number one in your life. I know Christians around here that have money for cigarettes. They have money for Budweiser. I'm not kidding, folks. But they don't have money to tithe. Okay? I'm just saying. We need to get our priorities straight. Amen? And we need to be the people of God. And it includes in our giving. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning. Why tithe? Oh, Lord, I can see a number of reasons. But the biggest reason of all I see is because tithing is an eternal principle. Yes, Lord. It was included in the law of Moses, but it wasn't invented by him. We thank you, Lord, that tithing is a beautiful thing because tithing, this is where the rubber hits the road in the pocketbook. Am I really a Christian? Am I really in covenant with the living God? Can I really trust him to take care of my needs as I put him first in my life and give obediently as the Bible teaches? Father, I thank you that the answer to these questions is yes, 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 and yes. I thank you, Lord, that you're faithful. And I thank you, Lord, that I can preach this message this morning, Lord, with confidence, knowing that you will take care of your people as they put you first. Because I know what the Bible says about you. And Lord, you are ever faithful.
Lord, you are so dependable. Lord, you are the solid rock upon whom we stand, and we shall not fall, because you holdeth us up. We love you this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for the message. In Jesus Christ's name, the people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals, folks. And open up your hymnals for a song of invitation. Praise the Lord as we open up to 195, one of our favorites around here. We haven't sung it in a while. Hymn 195, we're going to stand, and we're going to sing the first, third, and fourth of 195. Take the name of Jesus with you, where'er you go. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Precious saint, oh how sweet, oh the and joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet, oh the birth and joy of heaven.
On the third, take the precious name of Jesus,
how it thrills our souls with joy. Save us, and his songs are tongues and more. Amen, amen. Precious name, oh how sweet, oh the birth and joy of heaven. Precious name,
the Lord, beloved, thank you for your patience this morning, and we will be here at 6 tonight if you can join us. Praise the Lord. We're going to be talking about capital punishment tonight from the scriptures at 6 o'clock, and Brother Steve, if you could dismiss us in prayer. So good to see you all.
Father, we are blessed from this service this morning, Lord. Thank you for speaking to our hearts, Lord, and showing us where we err in your word. Please, Father, I know I'm guilty of not tithing, and I've been blessed by this service this morning, as I hope we all have been. Father, your word says, commit thy ways unto the Lord, and thy thoughts be established. And concerning all of us, concerning the days ahead of us, we're not to prepare for the day, Lord. We're supposed to trust in you and be led in your spirit, Father. Lead us and guide us into all truth. Lead us and guide us through the day. In Jesus' blessed name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen.